On today's episode, Disastrous Dads, Grindr, I Barely Know Her, him, and why some fetishes are better canned than fresh. All that and more on today's episode of Bad Advice with Lori Beth Denberg.
The almighty Lori Beth Denberg, give me the vital information so I get the red dots, who do ya? The church of Lori Beth is in session and we're reading from the scriptures of vital information. Talking my goddess and my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me. Oh my goddess and my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me.
My name is Lori Beth Denberg, and welcome to the Bad Advice Podcast.
Woo!
With me, as always, is Clark Crozer.
Hello.
Hello, Clark.
How are you?
I'm stressed out like a motherfucker.
Oh, no.
It has been a rough couple weeks.
Yeah.
Or a rough 45 years. It depends on how you look at it. My dad finally.
Yeah.
Had his full knee replacement.
Yeah.
He was supposed to have it last December, but COVID strikes again.
COVID-y.
So he's been in a lot of pain up until now. Last week, he finally got to have his surgery.
Right.
And it went well. Everything's fine. It's nothing like that.
With knee surgery, you have to be walking before they let you out, right?
Yeah, he had to get up and walk. So he actually did that.
Good.
And so he didn't have to stay overnight, which he really did not want to do.
I'm sure.
That's good. Although I was like, a night off sounds just wonderful.
Did you watch him? Did he look like a baby giraffe that was just born?
Exactly.
His knees were all
shaking.
Like wobbly.
Yeah, so he was able to do that and get out, but a knee replacement is notoriously a painful recovery.
Ooh.
So he's doing okay.
Okay.
But I've just been, you know, hyper-vigilantly taking care of him and being extra supportive and extra peppy.
Right.
And just a lot of other shit has come up that I've had to attend to as well.
Right.
So I've just been kind of overwhelmed and buried, and every time I'm actually sitting down to do something, I remember something else I was supposed to do. I had a panic attack at Costco.
Oh my God.
So that was great. That was great. If you're going to freak out anywhere, Costco's a nice, safe, small space to do it in.
Luckily, you're able to freak out in such a bigger level quantity there when you're
at
Costco.
Well, no, because I was like, okay, this is starting. This is happening. Yeah. I couldn't breathe. I'm taking deep breaths, which made me.
Were you just getting there, or were you getting close to
leaving? No. I had already been swooshing. That's the other thing. It's everywhere I'm going, like, with great purpose and walking with purposeful strides and doing everything just quite briskly.
Yeah.
That's a good name, the word for it.
Yeah.
Everything I'm doing is brisk.
Right.
And I was my head was completely sweaty from just. Like, I got out of a pool, and then I finally stopped when I was almost done. I had everything I needed.
Okay.
And I just realized that, like, I couldn't breathe. And of course, I'm wearing a mask.
Right.
Because A, I'm a decent human being, and B, I wouldn't be allowed at Costco to have a panic attack. They'll be like, ma'am, you have to have your panic attack outside because you're not wearing a mask. So, but when you're kind of hyperventilating and having trouble breathing, a mask wasn't
helping
that much. And I just was breathing so much that I needed to cough.
Oh, no.
And then you don't want to be the person coughing in a public place during a pandemic. So it was just a lot. And I managed to get out of there. I got my stuff.
Okay,
I was still being cheerful to everyone else, which I know I don't always have to do. But somehow I'm like.
That's just part of who you are.
It is part of who I am, but I should probably write myself a question to give myself advice about it. But so I got out of there, and I do not have panic attacks very often.
Yeah.
I do have medication for when it happens.
Okay.
And so I ended up, which I mean, hardly ever, but I actually took half of one of my pills.
Okay.
Like, that's how bad it was.
If this has happened before and you've had pills for it, that means it must have happened a couple of times. Comparatively, was this on the lower scale or on the higher scale?
I think this was on the higher scale.
Wow.
What's interesting is that one of the times I really remember this happening was at Target.
Huh?
And the difference is it's always worse when I'm in somewhere with really bright fluorescent lights,
oh,
you know, or like a supermarket where it's bright and the floor is white and it's all, you know.
Interesting.
And then Target has their signature red.
Right.
But so Costco is more like cavernous and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So that wasn't as bad. But I mean, I had to, I live a, I am not suggesting this. I know this is wrong.
Okay.
But I live very close to the Costco. I couldn't wear my seatbelt on the way home.
Wow.
I couldn't wear my seatbelt because it was too constricting and I was freaking out. I got home and I took my shirt off.
Yeah.
But that wasn't enough. I had to take my bra off because I just couldn't.
Your body was just... Yeah. You tried as hard as you could, but it was hitting you hard.
And then I mean, I put on something loose before I went to check on my dad and I didn't say, you know, I said, hey, what do you need? I think I did say like I had a panic attack at Costco, which he doesn't understand.
Of course not.
He's like, well, why? And I'm like, I don't want to talk about it.
Huh.
What do you want for dinner? I got to make it. So, yeah, that was pretty. That's kind of a. It hasn't been obviously that bad to say I'm having a panic attack, but you know, that's kind of been the pitch of my last couple weeks leading up to the surgery and then taking care of my dad afterwards. Yeah. And my dad's being great.
Okay, good.
My dad's being great. The one thing I will say is I don't believe he's doing like his exercises enough.
Okay.
He's like, my leg is swollen. Look at it. It hurts. I'm like, yeah, get the fuck up and move it.
Yeah, exactly.
So that the fluid goes elsewhere, you know, maybe on your brain. Maybe it'll affect your speech center and I won't have to hear you talk about how much your leg hurts. But no, he's being really good and it's really satisfying just taking care of him and making his meals and pushing him, you know, a little like, hey, dad, after this episode of whatever horrible crime drama you're watching, he watches everything.
Really?
Well, he's 76 and he's had health problems. He doesn't go out a lot.
Okay.
But I always go in and I'm like, what's this one? And he's like, it's Kabucha Kapapa. And I'm like, I've never heard of that.
Well, when you say he watches everything murder mystery and related.
Yeah. No, he
it's
watches
not like
a
he's
lot.
Watched every episode of How I Met Your Mother, right?
No, he hasn't. And I've tried to get him to watch some better stuff. Not better. I shouldn't say better. Some lighter stuff.
Right.
That's what I usually say to him. I'm like, Dad, can you watch a comedy? Like every time I go in, you know, somebody's like, and we found her legs over by the seesaw.
Yeah, it's murder porn.
Yeah, it is. It's torture porn.
Torture porn and murder porn.
Exactly. So every once in a while, I'm like, can you just lighten this up? But then one time I'm like, what are you watching? And he's like, the Ferdinand the Bull movie. Like he really does watch everything.
That is funny.
But so anyway, that was a weird tangent. Yeah. But he's doing okay. I'm kind of nudging him to do more.
Good.
And don't want him to be like, I'll do what I want, like lose
right.
it. And I'll be like, okay, I'll just go make your dinner with this poison. So I'm actually already feeling better being here with you, Clark.
Oh, good, good. I'm
laughing
glad.
And stuff.
Right. You gotta, this is a good place for you, I feel. You got Bags next to you.
Bags the dog. I love you twice.
We can worry about other people's problems for a little bit.
Oh, that's right.
And you don't have to dwell. So why don't we move on to some questions, get you some fun answers that get your mind off stuff.
Yes, sir.
Here we go. We're going to start with number one is Jamie. And Jamie says, hi, Lori Beth. Love you. And you are my favorite cast member from all that.
Oh, thank you.
I have a bit of a problem. My sister and I have always had a close relationship, but she recently has become very needy. Anytime I have a day off, she always wants to hang out and do something, but I just want to be left alone. Her neediness has increased following the passing of our brother the last few years, and she just doesn't seem to take a hint. It's become very difficult to hide my annoyance with her. She's also taken it upon herself to involve my parents, who are both pushing 70 years old, which further increases my annoyance with her, because we're not kids anymore. I'm 38 years old and she's 40. I should also mention she's a manic depressive, so I always have to walk on eggshells around her all the time.
I need some bad advice because I'm at that point where I don't know what to do or say, because if I say nothing, then I'm in deep shit. If I tell her I want to be left alone, then I'm in deep shit. That's Jamie.
Jamie. Hey, Jamie. First of all, I'm very sorry about the loss of your brother.
Yes.
That's awful. And I'm really sorry. So it makes sense that, you know, if your sister is more clingy after that, you know, it's not hard to draw a straight line to that.
Right.
But I really, really understand where you're at. You know, it all kind of sounds like if your sister has these mental and emotional problems, I mean, you say she's manic depressive, I assume she is diagnosed, mm-hmm. or you're just not like, what I think, based on the time we went shopping, I feel she's manic depressive. But, you know, that you might be the caretaker. You might be the one that was always helping her out and smoothing things over.
Or maybe the entire whole family.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you could be that position.
Yeah. So if that's the case, I want to let you know that that is not your job.
Yeah.
I hear from what you're saying that you love your sister.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you love your sister and that it's just too much.
Right.
And you've been dealing with your brother's death as well,
right.
and probably taking care of your parents and all that kind of stuff. So it is absolutely more than okay to say something. You know, you're saying she can't take a hint, all this kind of stuff, but to actually say something, and you can say it in a way that's that. One of my problems is I don't say it. And then one day I'm like, go fuck yourself.
Right. Exactly.
And that's not a good deal. Yeah. I can tell you from experience.
That's
so,
not the healthy path.
Yes. So to really think about, you know, sitting down with your sister on the phone. I always say sitting down. Like, I'm sure you are wondering why I've called you to my office today. To sit down and have a conversation saying, I need some time to myself.
Right.
And I love you and I don't want to snap at you. I don't want to
hurt your feelings.
All of that kind of stuff. That's a conversation to have with your sister.
Yeah.
Your sister's mental illness is not your responsibility.
That's right.
She is a grown woman and has presumably doctors and medication and has had experience with being manic depressive mm-hmm. Up to this point. And as much as part of loving her and part of caring about anyone is accepting and wanting to protect them and wanting to help them, it is not your job to live your life on eggshells and to live your life without a moment alone and denying yourself what you really need because of someone else's mental illness or whatever.
Absolutely.
So there's a way, you know, to detach from that. That's not like, can you just fucking take a hint and get out of my house?
Right.
Because then what you do is like, you know, there's been difficult people that I've dealt with in the past that I've dealt with, you know, group of friends. And one of them's like, just fucking wrong, you know?
Right.
And then it's like, oh, you don't want to say anything. It's like, yeah, you don't want to be the last person to yell at blank and then they kill themselves.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
I have had that experience, a sister.
Yeah.
But I really understand that, like, impulse to, I just, you know, but I got to protect him.
Due.
Yeah, exactly. But you don't need to protect her. She's a grown woman. If you really needed to protect her, she should be in a facility.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, let me add on top of that. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of just sitting down and having a talk with her and being, you know, a little blunt about it. I also feel like, Jamie, you're probably better off to not make it about your sister. When you sit down with your sister, don't make it about her. Don't say, you're not leaving. You're not giving me enough space. You're not making, make it about you.
Mm-hmm.
Make it about you so that your sister, who I'm sure cares about you, just like you care about her, will hear you talking about yourself. I don't have enough time for myself. I feel like I'm losing a part of myself because I don't have a moment to be just by myself and on my own. I do better when I have space to myself. Just make it about you and not about her. Because if you make it about her, all of a sudden it becomes an argument. And you don't need this to be an argument, right? This is your damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Point. Yeah, you already feel guilty enough about standing up for yourself. Exactly. You don't need the guilt trip thrown back at you, which you will probably get anyway.
Yeah, a little bit.
And we talked about guilt trips, and it was somebody and their mother-in-law moving in.
Oh,
we
right.
talked about guilt trips.
Yeah.
If you don't remember that one, go binge them from the beginning.
Previously.
On bad advice. Oh my God, that's my funniest Clark joke ever. We were at, okay, I'm taking an aside. You do okay. have a very serious question, Jamie, but I'm going to tell this story because there's just been like three jokes in our time together that always stick out to me about Clark. One, this one was we were at Disneyland California Adventure.
Yep.
They have a big theater there.
Right. Like within a first 2 or 3 years of it opening.
Yeah,
I
yeah,
think.
Yeah. Really, and the show at the theater when we went this time was Aladdin.
I think it's the Hyperion Theater.
Yes. So it was Aladdin, and it's just a really nice theater. And it's one of those places you go in the summer. You're like, it's so nice and cool in here. Yeah,
exactly.
But we're watching the show. It's based on the movie and the songs and stuff. And then at some point they have some technical problem. And the show just stops and yeah. they put the curtain down
yeah.
and we're all sitting there. And then after 10 minutes or whatever, the curtain goes back up and the lights go down and Clark in his voice goes, previously on Aladdin, which is funny enough. But the woman I was sitting to Clark's right, the woman on his left thought it was the funniest thing she'd ever heard.
Laughing hysterically.
She was laughing hysterically. And I do that all the time now. Previously on whatever. And I insert whatever. But that's honestly like my favorite Clark joke ever. Okay. All right, Jamie, back to your right, very difficult predicament. These are grown people. She is not your child. It yeah. is not your responsibility to give everything away from yourself.
That's absolutely right.
And Clark's right about making that conversation, should you choose to have it, be about you.
Yeah.
And other than that, it's kind of like you can't predict what somebody's going to, you know, she could say, I had no idea I was making you feel this way.
Yeah, exactly.
She could stomp her feet and say, how dare you? You know, I'm sick and I need this and that. And it's like, oh, what I was saying before, God, what a mess this is. Yeah. We went to Aladdin and now I'm back. We're talking about, the mother-in-law question, and we were talking about the guilt trip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the guilt trip has no power if you don't care about it.
Right.
You know, if you can go in and say, you know, you're not asking your sister, please do this for me.
Right.
You're telling your sister with love and with kindness, this is what I need.
Yes.
And that is kind of cut and dry.
Yes.
So a guilt trip can be flown around and, you know, whatever, but it doesn't change the cut and dry.
And again, I know it's hard for me to say because I'm an only child, so I don't know what it's like to have a brother or a sister, but from what I've heard,
yeah.
you're supposed to love each other. And if you love your sister enough that you're taking care of her after your brother's death and your parents are too old and you're kind of the stalwart there, then she should love you enough to let you have some time to yourself.
Yeah. And if for some reason her manic depression, she goes on a manic bent.
Right.
You know, she has doctors and you can say, call the doctor or, you know, even call the doctor on her behalf. Like, yeah. I'm not saying this isn't like I'm through with you.
Right. Exactly.
This is you just claiming some time and peace of mind for yourself.
That's exactly
It's not
right.
like you're like, you know, not giving her a rose and she has right. to go home to from Sister Island.
Plus, you need to pepper it in there with a whole bunch of, you know, I love you so much, sister. Mm-hmm. I really want to be here for you. But if I'm not good, I can't be here for you.
Yeah.
So we got to make sure that I'm doing good, too. So hopefully that'll
yeah.
help.
Yeah. Jamie, good luck.
Good luck, Jamie. I hope that helps a lot. Moving on to question number two.
Oh,
we've got One of my favorite names from today's list, at least, AJ Cappuccino.
Oh, I'm AJ Cappuccino.
Which I'm hoping is his mafia name. So AJ Cappuccino says, oh, I don't know if his mafia, according to this question. Sometimes I see men I want to sleep with on Grindr, but we aren't into exactly the same things. Should I not pursue these guys? That's AJ Cappuccino.
Mr. Cappuccino, as far as I understand, the only thing you have to be into with a match on Grindr is sex.
Yeah, or penises.
I mean, not exclusively, though. Well, Grindr is for the gay community, but without that, you know, you might meet a hot bi guy.
Oh, it's true.
Who you meet up with, and there's some other things going on.
That's true.
Clark.
What?
If you're going to meet guys randomly on Grindr, be safe because of COVID.
COVID came up.
I guess we talked about it with my dad's leg, too.
Yeah.
But that wasn't quite the same as telling Mr. Cappuccino to A, wear a mask, and B, Rappuccino his dick in a condom. Please. Yeah, Grindr is for fun and Grindr is for sex. And, you know, if you are looking for deep, meaningful love on Grindr, I think you're missing the point. I'm sure there are some people who have, like, you know, hooked up with a Craigslist fuck and ended up falling in love.
Sure.
Oh, God, I dated myself because there's no such thing as
Craigslist. No. There's got to be, right?
Casual encounters. They stopped that. I'm sure there's a way people are doing it, but they stopped that since it was 98%
hookers.
Prostitution. And I was the other 1% who fucked one guy one time, and it was utterly disappointing. Utterly disappointing.
Now, I will say, you know, personally, I have always been more attracted to nerdy girls.
Yes.
So if that's a part of the conversation, then maybe you'd want to pursue specific guys that are a specific kind of a personality, because that's what turned you on.
Well, you're going on looks to start with, and proximity.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
But if someone does say they're nerdy, they might be, you know, more inclined to wear the stormtrooper helmet during.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. But
so there is that element to it.
There is that element to it that, you know, if you have stuff in common about what turns you on, what kind of sex you like, that's one thing.
That's one thing.
But if you're like, he doesn't like the classics, I can't have random anonymous sex with a man who doesn't love Hemingway. You know, I think that that's okay as long as you are being safe, as long as you are not putting yourself in danger. And that I'm not even just talking about COVID and condoms, just in general.
But
I have not spent much time on Grindr. I have spent time grinding, but it's not the same.
No.
So yeah, go for it. If you're going to have fun, be safe, Mr. Cappuccino. And thank you so much for writing in.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to move on to question number three. And I love this. Question number three is a phone call.
Oh.
Let's listen to Anonymous.
Hey, Lori Beth. What do you think I should do if I think my spouse, well, my partner, we're not married, just partners, and we do have a kid together. But anyways, I think that he is cheating on me. But the whole thing is, I don't fucking care. And I kind of hope he is, so that he leaves. But I can't afford to leave him. And I don't have a car, so he, like, brings me to work, brings our kids daycare, that sort of thing. And I feel like he'd be very vindictive and, like, try and go for full custody of our baby together. She's not a baby, she's 4. The whole thing is, I don't know what to do. So, can you help a girl out and tell me what you would do in this situation? It's very hard. Anyway, I love you. Have a great day, guys. I don't know what time of day this is. Bye.
Okay, so that was anonymous.
Thank you, anonymous, for that very personal and deep question.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that your partner isn't abusive at all now. If you think, oh, he will be very vindictive, that must be because of behavior that you have seen before or been on the receiving end of before.
Yeah.
I like what you said. Like, I think he's cheating on me and I don't fucking care. So the question is, you know, what to do? You can't afford to move out. This is a theme that we get over and over in questions.
It's very true.
From women who say, I cannot afford to move out. I cannot afford to live on my own. And they haven't just been about, you know, a partner, you know, or a husband or stuff. There's been other stuff. We've heard this a lot.
Yeah.
And so anonymous, just win the lottery. Why is it so hard? Why did you need me to tell you that?
Or just star on a television show and make millions of dollars. It's pretty easy. Boom, boom, boom.
If that were possible, I would do it. I live with my dad. This is my treat, getting out of the house to come help Anonymous with her very desperate situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hopefully, though, it is not a desperate situation.
Right.
Hopefully you are not in a abusive situation.
Right.
You know, because that's a whole other thing.
Yes. That's more of a get out now situation.
Yeah, that's a you find a way.
Yeah.
But I think a bunch of ways you could, you know, approach this. You could say to him, hey, are you fucking someone else?
Yeah.
Just curious.
Yeah.
You know,
and just be open and blunt about it.
Yeah. Or you could, you know, say, where have you been? But you don't fucking care. That's the point.
Right.
You don't want to be like, I was waiting for you all night.
Right.
The roast was ruined.
I have a suggestion.
Okay.
What about she doesn't have enough money to move out? What if she has enough, maybe it would be less money to hire a private detective? Then you have proof that he's being infidel. What is the
infidel Castro?
Infidel. What's the word I'm looking for?
He's being
infertile.
No. He's being. Oh God! Write in if you know
infantile. Like I can hear, I can remember every word except the word I'm looking for.
Unfaithful.
Unfaithful. There you go.
Ah, excellent.
He's being unfaithful. If you have proof, I don't know.
Do you know how frustrating that was for the listeners to listen to?
Sure.
Like, how long is this going to go on?
I'm not sure where you live, Anonymous, but if in California, for certain, if you're cheating on your spouse, they take you to court and get a divorce, you get like half their stuff, if not more.
Yeah, but they're not married.
Well,
so I don't know if they're
together.
Well, yeah,
so they
but
at least you could at least get
maybe
child support.
Yeah, maybe they could be common law. But also, if you go to first of all, yes, Anonymous, that is another thing. Look up the show Cheaters and see if you can send in a audition video. Oh God, that shit is so disgusting. But that I can understand being wary of doing something like that when you're thinking he's going to be vindictive, which is such a dick move. A, whatever he's doing that you're like, I don't fucking care who he fucks.
Right,
a,
right.
B, that he's the one, quote unquote, at fault.
Yeah.
And C, that he would throw a fit because you said, hey, maybe we shouldn't be together if you don't want to fuck me and want to fuck other people.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, there's plenty of people that wouldn't be a problem for, but it wouldn't be a problem in the first place.
Right.
Oh, dear Anonymous.
Yeah, this is a rough one.
It is a rough one. Hopefully your daughter's doing okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Definitely talk to your friends.
Yeah.
You might even want to talk to a lawyer.
Yeah.
And see what can be what.
Exactly.
Because it is possible. I don't know. You say your daughter is 4. I don't know where you live and the laws, but you could be in a common law marriage situation.
Right.
Which is where you just hang out enough that it somehow is legal.
Right. Or at the very least, maybe you won't get any money, but maybe you'll at least get full custody of your kid.
Yeah, if that's...
And then you don't have to worry about that. I feel like that's way more important than the money.
No, well, I don't know how great her kid is. Yeah, if you had to choose anonymous, yeah, that is a really good point. That if that is, you know, this thing that's looming, that's keeping you in this relationship, you can figure out somewhere to go.
Yeah.
You can rent a room. You can figure out a friend. You could, that is absolutely feasible, possible.
Right.
But the fear that this guy, who you don't seem very fond of, would be vindictive and try to get full custody to punish you.
Right.
I should say we have only heard from Anonymous. This guy could be kind of okay and just fucking around.
Yeah.
He's having an affair. That doesn't mean he's not a good father.
Right.
And, you know, so I don't want to put it out. This isn't some, you know, women's show where it's like, kick him to the curb, girl. So all of that is still on the table. You know, only you and only he knows what's going on inside the relationship. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you did bring up the concept of, you know, custody and vindictiveness and that kind of stuff, it would behoove you to go see a lawyer and see, you know, what steps would it be? What can I expect? That kind of stuff.
Right. Would it be better if I had physical proof of philandering? That
Clark
kind of stuff.
Just wants pictures
I
of
do.
This shit.
I want to get this guy good.
I think Clark has like opens his closet, his secret closet at night, and just strokes his like full length detective's coat. Yes. Like he bought it like, oh, ironically, it's just, I'm just going to be Inspector Gadget for Halloween. But that was just a cover to really get going on
it's
his
true.
PI career.
And if you really want some really bad advice, Anonymous, two words, Maury Povich.
Oh, my goodness.
Boom. That's the best worst bad advice ever.
Those might be the two worst words in the human language.
Not if you're Connie Chung.
Well, yeah, I don't know. She's probably about to write in for
maybe
some advice.
Oh,
Connie. So, yeah, Anonymous, check that out. That would be the most... Oh, very distressing, disturbing thing is to worry that your kid will be taken over by this guy, that you will not have your daughter, that this will turn into this, you know, punishing personal attack. And that's going to go very badly for the kids.
Yeah.
So that is really something to, I think, just talk to a lawyer about to see, you know, what's what.
Yeah. And like you were saying, Laura Beth, family, friends, talk to everyone. Maybe somebody will have a room or two in their house that
you
could go move into. So if that's the only thing you're worried about, talking to friends will help too.
Yeah.
I hope that helps, Anonymous. We are going to move on to our next call, however. I'm very excited because this, man, we have not gotten as hard of hitting a question as we're about to get from my friend Anthony here. All right.
Okay.
You ready for Anthony's question?
Yeah. Yeah.
Here we go.
Hello. My name is Anthony. I'm from Oakview, California. What do you think about a green bean fetish? Someone with a green bean fetish. Okay. Someone that has a fetish for green beans. I need your advice, Lori Beth. I am a big, big fan and I love you so very much. I'm from Oakview, California. Green bean fetish. I need your advice. Thank you.
All right. That's Anthony.
Okay.
With his green bean fetish question.
I was not, well, in all fairness, he did not say it was him.
No, that's
I'm
true.
I'm calling for a friend.
That's very true.
What I love about this is how intensely he needs this advice.
Yes.
He can barely I just see him pacing his apartment.
Right.
I'm from Oakview, California. I'm Anthony. Green beans. Green bean fetish. I'm from Oakview, California. Help me. And then he sneaks in. I'm a really big fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you for that. Green bean fetish. Here's what I'll say.
Yeah.
They're tasty.
Yeah, they could be.
They might not be tasty after you do whatever you want to do with them. I would say, you know, whatever turns you on.
Yeah, sure.
I would open the can first if you're going to go for that. Those are kind of mushy.
Don't got to get rid of the can first thing. No can involved.
Yeah, but also if you're really going to go for just the fresh snap peas, are snap peas and green peas the same way?
No, green beans are totally different.
Okay, gotcha. I was picturing him with his grandma on the porch snapping beans. And she's like, it's so lovely to spend this time with you. And Anthony's like, I'm going to shove this up my urethra. What a lovely image.
You're out, right?
Yeah. So, green beans are good. I'm trying to think, like, because the ones in the can could be so mushy that you could jerk off with them.
Sure, I guess.
I've never imagined so many possibilities.
Yeah. You'd also have to figure out whether that's fresh green beans, like straight off the stalk and it's crispy.
Yes.
And or if, like you're saying, it's the canned or the jarred green beans where they're a little mushier and soggier.
And salty. I'm wondering if this is a cover for a huge Jolly Green Giant fetish.
There. Oh my God, maybe that's it.
That could be it.
Dude, maybe you should have somebody have sex with you and call you Sprout.
Ooh. So Anthony, tell your friend that there's certainly nothing wrong.
Nothing.
Unless you are doing whatever you're doing and then secretly serving them to your dinner guests.
That would be pretty horrible.
That's a different deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, if you're serving them to dinner guests and then they leave and then you take the leftovers.
That's okay.
That's reasonable.
That's okay.
It's reasonable.
Although then you'd be like, well, I am jerking off with my uncle's green beans.
Yeah.
Exactly. And when inserting, well, we assume that fresh green beans would be better for inserting into orifices.
Yes. You can't insert a mushy green bean anywhere.
You can't. Well, you could jam it up there with something.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I'm not suggesting this. Put it up there to feed your gerbil.
But you don't want mushy clumped. You want it slick and like, whoop. Like, yes. It goes in and out quick. You don't want to be smushing down like you're tapping an old-timey Revolutionary War gun.
Yeah.
Like you're just jamming more stuff in there.
Clark seems to have a lot of clear visions of how this should work.
I gotta tell you, I had none of these before you started mentioning up the urethra.
Yes.
That's what got it.
Well,
it's too funny.
Exactly. Anthony, you or your friend are good.
Yeah.
Be safe.
Yeah. And hopefully you're not doing this in public. Let's move on with that.
I got kicked out of the farm tour.
You're never allowed.
They took away my 4-H membership.
You're never allowed in Whole Foods ever again.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right. Well, that was our last question for this part. Now we're moving on to our rotating segment of the week, which I'm very happy to say is one of our favorites. It's called Inevitable Information.
And now, Lori Beth Denberg with more inevitable information for your everyday lives.
So, yeah, this is the segment where I talk about Nickelodeon acting stuff, which I know everybody loves to hear about.
Yep.
But I didn't want the show to be me answering, you know, deep questions as the loud librarian.
Right.
Tell your sister to shut up. But I've been thinking about
fucking that green bean. This is a library.
But I have been thinking about like the old days because I saw The Orange Years, which is a documentary about Nickelodeon.
Yes.
I was interviewed for it. This is like couple, two, three, maybe more years ago.
Wow.
Because they were getting, you know, everyone that they could.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, I'd love to. I really didn't know what it was going to be. When someone approaches me to do a project, you never know if it's going to be like, you know, an iPhone on a skateboard as the camera or man. Yeah. So I really didn't know. And then I watched it and it's so good.
Oh, that's great.
It was so well done. So actually emotional.
Huh?
Because it wasn't just like, here's the slime and here's the stuff.
Right.
It was the entire story from when Nickelodeon was pre-Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
And the concepts that it, you know, aspired to as far as kids programming and what to give kids what they want.
That's
and then,
right.
you know, through that until You Can't Do That on Television
yeah.
came into the picture
yeah.
and the slime and then, it, you know, all that kind of stuff. It takes that kind of turn. And it really, really made me emotional. It made me really proud to have been part of the whole deal.
Yeah,
it's like I realized that I've talked about on the show before how much it means when people say to me, you know, you were such a big part of my childhood and seeing someone like you on TV made me feel better, or I got bullied and
right.
yeah, but you would make me laugh. Like, that's all good. And that's my experience. But to see, you know, laid out in this documentary, the entirety of the Nickelodeon story.
Yeah.
I mean, not the entirety. I'm sure they took out some. I'll tell you, they did take out some stuff because I said some fucked up shit in my interview.
Oh, no.
And none of it was in. Like, to the point where I'm like, are they going to do, like, you know, a blooper reel at the end? You know, where it's just like. And it's like, I think I said, like, Melissa Joan Hart was my first kiss. Just a bunch of crazy shit. Like, I had Kenan's baby, a lot of crazy stuff. But that was super not the vibe of
it. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Because it was very, you know, just really well done and
well,
sweet.
Beyond you being on Nickelodeon for so many years, we also, you and I, were like the first generation of Nickelodeon kids because cable TV started right when we were babies, basically.
Yeah.
So when we were at that age, 5, 6, 7, it was this kind of newfangled television network.
Yep.
And it was a part of our growing up, too.
Yeah, it was. Double Dare is just
yeah.
like, I don't remember a world without Double Dare.
Exactly.
So there was no such thing.
Thank you, Mark Summers.
All things set on Mark Summers. There was no before and there will be no after. He's actually super fun. And when we get together, we give each other shit and say really off-color things.
Oh, that's great.
It's very fun.
I love that.
But yeah, it was just really a great experience watching this, you know, watching this documentary and then, oh, and then I'm in it and I'm seeing tons of people interviewed that I know.
Oh, that's so great.
And it was just really, really cool. And then I found a bunch of, you know, old pictures from all that.
Oh, right.
Behind the scenes stuff. And I'm posting some of them on Instagram.
Oh,
I'm not
yeah.
good at posting. I forget to post. I'm old. I'm working really hard. So if you go see my Instagram. Oh, and let's shameless plug.
Yeah.
Go like at Ask Lori Beth on Instagram.
Yes.
And when we get to 3,000, we talked about this. Remember
yes,
when we
yes.
get to 3,000 followers, I'm going to randomly pick someone and do a Zoom call with them.
Yes.
Which it kind of reminds me of, like, you know, all the experiences looking at the Nickelodeon, you know, story so emotionally and
yeah.
knowing I have my place in it.
Yeah.
You know, that made me think of, like, times that we would go to a kid's hospital at Christmas,
right.
and, you know, meet Make-A-Wish kids and just really make people's day.
Yeah.
And it's, and went beyond, you know, just having fans at a show or that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, so we did, there's this really awesome, cute Make-A-Wish kid.
Okay.
He must have been like 7 or something. I don't remember his name. I could totally see his face.
Okay.
And he was really into Nickelodeon and really into like race cars.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
you know, Indy 500 kind of stuff.
Sure.
And then, so he came to Figure It Out, the set of Figure It Out when
okay.
we were doing that in Orlando.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember his mom and all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, you know what it is.
Right.
Make-A-Wish, which is like somebody that's really sick.
Right.
Not that I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, instead of just having fun, I turn to his mom and I go, you're so brave. I'm so sorry for your loss. No, but so he was just like cute as a button and showing me the pictures of him with the race car driver he loved.
Cool.
But then he came back like a significant amount of time later.
What?
And he was, and it was like, he got better. And I thought he should have to give back all the stuff. Right. You've wasted resources and decided to live.
Or at least he has to make like a long a session of people where he has to apologize. Like
exactly.
He comes to everyone, I'm sorry, I didn't die. I made it through. And then he goes to Danica Patrick next.
Yes. That was, we met Danica Patrick, didn't we?
We did. Yes, we did. That's a story for another day.
That's a story for another day.
Her and Sonic.
Yes. But, you know, I mean, my joking about a boy that got better and disappointed me by doing so aside, you know, there were just all of these experiences that I had and that I shared with, you know, the other cast members.
Yeah.
Like I have all these pictures of me and Kevin and Heath and Amanda and other cast members going at Christmas to this hospital ward for kids that were sick.
Right.
You know, and when they can't go to Christmas, you bring Christmas to them.
Right.
And the documentary really made me kind of think about all these experiences that I got to have.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't all just getting slimed and being wacky and yelling in the library. There's like real emotional depth to a lot of what I did, which is why it really does mean so much to me when I hear from people that, you know, they were a big fan or how I helped them. But also just within the context of this show that you would, you know, call up or write in with really deep shit.
Meaningful shit. Yeah.
And, you know, we started this and thought it might be like, my cat scratched my eye. What should I do?
Right.
And you should go to the hospital. But, you know, the personal nature and the real kind of confessional stuff that you guys write in your questions that you're sending to me to, you know, us to, for advice.
Yeah.
It really means a lot. It really, really means a lot. And I think that, I just wanted to tell you that.
Yeah, of course.
And Make-A-Wish kid, if you're out there, I'm coming for you.
Oh man. I've got him on the show.
I've got an itemized list. And another sick kid that didn't get anything because you wasted the resources.
Oh, I hope that's not true. But that was really fun. But I do love, I'm very excited to watch The Orange Years. It looks really cool.
Yeah, definitely everybody check it out.
I think it's
really
on Hulu?
Good. I think it is on Hulu.
Yeah. But anyway, let's move on from there. We have a final question of the day.
Okay.
It is from one of my favorite names. This is Buck Melanoma Molly Russell's Wart.
Ooh.
I love that name. And they've actually written before and asked us a couple of questions. We have a new question from them. And here it is. It is, my dad was cheating on my mom when she was pregnant with me. I barely saw my dad growing up. Looking back, I really needed a dad. He would come around every now and then. Sometimes 3 years would pass. And at this time, he lived in the same town. My older sister told me as a kid, mom and dad got a divorce because of you. Looking back, I'm sure she thought that was true in a kid's eyes. Now we both know better. But I grew up with feeling like it was my fault. And I know it affects me even to this day. And I also think the fact I barely had a father figure is where a lot of issues come from with me. My dad started to come around more as I was graduating high school, but I had better things to do. He passed away 7 years ago from cancer, and I feel bad talking bad, even though I do feel bad, but I never loved him. He was a stranger, but I would tell him because I didn't want him to feel bad. It's weird. I'm weird, and this comment is a mess. That's Buck Melanoma Molly Russell's word.
Buck, speaking of deep personal questions that people send in.
Yeah, here you go.
I'm sorry you're fucked up from all that shit. That was definitely not your fault.
Yes.
And the first thing that kind of jumps out at me is like, yeah, I really could have used a dad, but not that dad.
Yeah.
It's all well and good to say, I needed a father figure and this and that. But the man that was cheating on your mom and not seeing you while he lived in the same town, besides those things, which are bad enough, all the rest of his personality and priorities and stuff were out of whack. He wouldn't have been a good dad to you. He is your dad. He was not a good dad to you. Yeah. So I know what it's like. I really know what it's like to say, I wish I just had this comfort. I wish I just had this relationship, but it wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And that's a really hard pill to swallow, because it's like, but only if, and it's like, well, that's not reality. Yeah. And then you have to deal, you know, with that. Certainly, I mean, your sister, you say, knows now it was not your fault. I know what it's like also to feel like everything that's going wrong is my fault. Mm. You know, I growing up was, we've talked about how I've had a very difficult childhood. And part of that was that, you know, I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to do anything. I didn't have, you know, all the problems were me. Right. All of the issues were like I was misbehaving, when really I had no, you know, guidance and I had no, you know, training in how to be and how to be a productive person. But I'm, you know, a kid and not able to, you know, really not able to reason that out.
Yeah.
And I'm just made to feel and felt like everything was my fault. Which sucks, especially when you're a kid, because then you feel guilty and then you feel helpless, because what the fuck are you going to do about it? You're a little kid. So wanting to have a father figure, wanting to have a dad, I understand that. But I think the dad you have wouldn't have done you any favors.
Yeah.
And he wasn't there. So it's kind of like in the reality of it.
Yeah.
And I totally know what you mean about, you know, I didn't love him. Like, he's a stranger.
Yeah.
And all of that is all, as much as we can tell each other, me and you, as much as we can tell ourselves, I know it wasn't my fault, there could still be that lingering, well, why wasn't I good enough?
Right.
Why didn't he want to be with me? Why didn't, and this extrapolates out over lots of different relationships.
Yep.
So, and that kind of self-doubt and self-punishment can really stay with us. Mm. And that might be part of what you need to really take a look at. Because, yeah, you didn't have a dad.
Yeah.
You didn't have, you know, you had whatever. People say like a sperm donor, you know, whatever it was.
Right.
And then, of course, when, not of course, but a lot of times as parents age and get older, they're looking back and regretting. So yes, now that you've graduated high school, let me come and be part of your life. And it's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I had to live my whole life without you. There's not a space for you.
Especially graduating high school. Like, that's the point where every kid, no matter how your relationship is with your parents, is like, fuck you guys. I'm out on my own. Like, I want to get out. I want to go do things. I don't want to be around my parents. Like, what a horrible moment for him to all of a sudden decide he wants to be a father.
Yeah. And it seems really selfishly.
Yeah.
Because at that point, it's about him.
Yep.
Trying to, you know, make his life have some meaning and worth.
Right.
I'm really painting a picture of your dad just like this sad, like, alcoholic, everything was wrong, living in like a cheap motel.
Come on, that's got to be true.
That's the image in my head.
Yeah.
But if you haven't seen Pretty in Pink, which is an awesome movie, and all of you are 30 years younger than it, I'm thinking of Harry Dean Stanton in Pretty in Pink.
There you go.
But that's rough, and it really sounds like you tolerated it and were kind and probably hugely resentful and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, that's what it is. And your father died and, you know, might have been a relief, which sounds fucked up to a lot of people. But I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But the important thing that I'm really thinking now is you did good.
Yeah.
You didn't have your dad.
Yeah.
He graduated high school, which is more than I did. Yeah. I don't know if we've gotten into that topic before. I didn't exactly graduate high school. But you've accomplished a lot.
Yeah.
I don't even know you when you've accomplished a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't think, you know, what did she say at the end? I'm a mess.
Yeah, I don't want to feel bad. It's weird. I'm weird. And this comment is a mess.
You can be weird. Nothing's wrong with weird.
Absolutely not.
And the comment isn't a mess. I mean, if it is, then I'm a mess too, because I so relate to it. Wait, I'm a mess. She's right. Okay. Yeah, it's important to look at what we, unfortunately, some of us, at what we survive.
Yeah.
What we accomplish. And what we survive, it's like this extra layer of slogging up the hill.
Yes.
And you sound like you were kind to your father when you did not have to be.
Mm-hmm.
You did not have to see him at all.
Exactly.
But you, I think you either act or react. Mm. You act like a person. Or you react to how they are treating you.
Right.
And sounds like you reacted to being dismissed, to being abandoned by even begrudgingly not abandoning him and not dismissing him.
Even though she didn't really feel like she loved him, but she said it anyway to make him feel good.
She gave him the care and comfort that she never received.
Exactly.
And so that. You know, I don't know what your mom was doing. It sounds like she's probably on the ball, at least a little.
Yeah.
Or you'd be asking me how to get your meth teeth fixed. But it's hard, and it's hard to see our accomplishments in ourselves when we're used to that everything's my fault and I'm a fuck up kind of mentality. So you're not a mess.
No.
You've survived a lot. And you seem to have come out of it articulate and compassionate.
Yes.
And that's a lot more than a lot of people can say.
100%.
So you're doing good, babe.
I agree. Buck, I really hope that helps. Thank you again for such wonderful questions. We've been getting so many great questions, and I really love it. If you love our show, you need to send us questions too. We can help you on any choices you have, any questions you have. Send it to us. Send us your problems at AskLoriBeth.com. Go follow us on all the socials at AskLoriBeth, or just leave us a message with your name and where you're from at 1-855-336-2374. That's 1-855-DENBERG or 1-855-DENBERG.
And you can find me at LB Denberg on Instagram. You also should follow us and the entirety of our recording equipment at Ask Lori Beth on Instagram. When we get to 3,000 followers, I will smush a Zoom with someone. I really can't wait for that.
That's going to be fun.
And you can find me at Lori Beth Denberg on Twitter, Facebook fan page. Good. It's the Lori Beth Denberg Facebook fan page.
Sure.
Like, that's a fan page? Fan page? Just a page about other fan pages. It has such breadth.
Right.
And you can book me for a personal video. Father's Day might be coming up.
Yeah,
is that a thing that happens?
Yeah, in June.
Clark's birthday is coming up.
That's true. June as well.
Exactly. So you can book me for that at cameo.com/LoriBeth. New sentence, hashtag 1 million hugs.
Oh, yes.
Hashtag 1 million hugs. Go get vaccinated.
Please.
If you've gotten the first vaccination, don't flake on your second one.
Please.
Just let's get this done. Yeah. And again, hashtag 1 million hugs. Hugs is when Dr. Fauci says it's cool, I'm going to go from town to town and set up a booth and give hugs to whoever lines up.
Yep.
This is my goal. I have at least 1 million hugs stored up.
Oh, yeah.
I've got like huge blue balls full of hugs from this fucking pandemic. So all of that to say, please get vaccinated.
Yep.
And
thank you for asking questions, and thank you for listening so much. We love all the support, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, bunnies.
Bad Advice stars Lori Beth Denberg and Clark Crozier. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Our theme song is written and performed by Natty Ward. If you or someone you love is in need of some bad advice, you can submit your own question on our socials, all of which are Ask Lori Beth, or on our website at AskLoriBeth.com, or for a nostalgic twist, you can call 1-855-DENBERG. That's right, 1-855-336-2374, and leave your question there. Thanks for listening.